Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldogs, Sal Capaccio, third and final segment of the Dunn Tire Roundtable for this week. Bills are off to Miami tomorrow, and they are shorthanded, as we've been talking about all day and for much of the week. The week started so well with the Monday night win over Tennessee. There were those injuries, though. In terms of Dane Jackson, a very scary one. Mike Hyde, also a neck injury. And if you missed it, in the update or earlier, Sean McDermott on with Joe and Sal on the Extra Point show this morning made the announcement official that those players and Jordan Phillips would not play against the Dolphins. Also, Ed Oliver. Sorry, now I'm just repeating the update. Sal, I mean, it's been said so many different times and ways, but Hyde and Poyer, and Poyer is still iffy for this game himself. So valuable. I mean, maybe still just not adequate expression of how much they've meant to the Bills. Hyde has missed two games since he walked in the door. One game in the middle of a couple different seasons, came right back. How would you put that into words, just what they've meant to all this?
Oh, my gosh. They've been really just the constants, right? As much as other things have changed, and not a lot has changed over the last 5 years. A few guys in, a few guys out, but they're the two constants that have been there, along with Tre'Davious White, really, that in the secondary, right? I mean, what they've done, the numbers they put up, that stat that Jerry Sullivan posted the other day, which is incredible, like the Bills have allowed 87 touchdown passes in the last 5 years. No one else, no other team has any less than like 110 or something like that. It's incredible. Like, those two guys are a big reason why. They keep everything in front of you. They keep everything in front of them. Their communication is just top-notch. They know the defense inside and out. Having the same head coach, having the same coordinator certainly helps. But, yeah, I mean, those guys, what they've meant to this team, to just simply always have that security blanket. And they're just fabulous players, and they're great leaders, right? I mean, it's kind of the perfect combination of everything. You have the consistency and the continuity to go along with guys who are really, really good players and that other people just totally respect, and they can run everything back there.
On the flip side here, Sal, like we're focused on the Bills' injuries, but Miami, Armstead, Howard have to be the two names that jump out on their injury report. Neither guy is ruled out, but Armstead has not practiced at all, and he's questionable. He managed to get through last week's game without practicing as well, and the coach even has said, like, he's proven he can play without practicing. So that's probably game time, and maybe the same is true of Howard. I don't know. Both guys are important. Which guy would you feel might be the bigger loss or more important for Miami to have?
I would think Howard, because they're already down Byron Jones. If Teron Armstead is out, it's a huge loss, there's no doubt. He's also not the blindside protector of Tua, as good as he is. And you can always slide protection, give help, use a little max protect. Like, you can mitigate that a bit. You could try in the secondary without Xavien Howard, but if you're down your two starting corners, which then is the case, I mean, good luck stopping Stephon Diggs and, you know, Gabe Davis if he plays. But even just Diggs, we saw the Tennessee Titans not be able to do that. They were down a corner. They had to go with young guys, and it's just not going to work out well. You know, for all the Bills' injuries on defense, they're pretty healthy on offense. Now, yes, Gabe Davis is questionable. Who knows if he's going to play? He said he was 100% optimistic he would play, whatever that means. right. And Mitch Morris is questionable. But really, the Bills should have pretty much all hands on deck on offense. So even if this gets a little bit into a shootout because the Bills are having trouble stopping the Miami Dolphins because of their firepower and the guys they're lacking, the Bills still have 17. And if they don't have Xavien Howard, this is already a team, by the way, the Dolphins, even with Xavien Howard, that is last in the entire league in yards per play given up overall and yards per pass given up overall.
Yeah. I wonder maybe if stay with me here because it's going to sound absurd here.
Ooh.
And maybe at the end it'll still sound absurd when I try to finish it off. But like Howard's obviously excellent. But I wonder if he's not there, if that does Miami the favor of taking them out of their eagerness to blitz as often as they have against Josh Allen. Like if they have inexperience in the secondary, you know, one option would be to try to not put too much on their plate and help them and play something softer maybe and stay in more of a shell. And, like, I know Allen has picked that apart this year so far, but it would require more patience, right? I mean, I think Miami has continued to just slam their head into a brick wall blitzing him, and they get burned when they do it. Maybe if Howard's not there, they do that less, and that ends up being better for them.
Could very well be. They have already blitzed a lot this year as well. We know that they are they're a team that, you know, has blitzed quite a bit and it just hasn't gotten home. So that's hurt them. Maybe they're already going to change up that philosophy against mm-hmm. Josh Allen. But you're right. I mean, maybe they say, hey, let's kind of take a page out of the Bills book here. And if we can't blitz because, you know, we don't have the horses to stay one on one by blitzing, let's keep everything in front of us. Let's be patient. Let's make the Bills be patient. Let's make the Bills kind of keep everything underneath. I think that would actually be a sound strategy. I just think that that's not something they normally do, but you're right. Maybe that's right. Something they do in this situation. Now, we don't know if, obviously, either guy's going to play. I think a couple of factors playing into this. First of all, Mike McDaniel, their head coach, said that, you know, it's very up in the air if Armstead plays, but that he doesn't need a whole week of practice to play. Right. He can play without practicing. He was fighting through a toe injury last week, and he still played. So that's on him. On Howard, he did have a groin injury last year, which I believe cost him at least a game, maybe more. So, you know, that's something to monitor. But the other part of this is, guys, they play Thursday night. You know, and you wonder if it's super close, do they err on the side of let's not put a guy out there, get him more hurt, that he's going to miss more time because we did this, or then we don't have him for all of this game and all of next game?
That's,
you know, maybe that comes into play when they do like pregame warm-ups or, you know, game time decision or anything like that.
That's really tough, isn't it? I mean, I was just reading about the Chargers in this way. Like Brandon Staley said he wanted to give JC Jackson a rest week. Well, he played last week. He was injured mm-hmm. at the beginning of the season and played anyway in Kansas City. You know, how coaches different from each other go about deciding those 50-50 calls. Like here, it's really hard to know. I mean, an injury, we talk about it like it's one thing, but there are varying degrees of these injuries. And then you have a coach weighing the importance of this game. Holy cow, Sal, the Dolphins have kind of awakened here in a spot where they can take the division lead. And they have an mm-hmm. opponent that's wobbling a little bit in terms of the injury report only. That's the only way in which the Bills are wobbling. So if a coach were down the middle, I mean, this is a big opportunity here. But, you know, the next week is the AFC champs, Thursday night.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they are feeling good about themselves right now in Miami. And, you know, they should after the way they've played. It's a very, very big test for them. I think that this is, you know, psychologically, of course, how you feel about yourself, whatever, much bigger game for Miami than it is for Buffalo. I think if the Bills were to lose this game, there's no panic. You know, you're still the best team. At least you should be. You're going to be still favored to win the Super Bowl, and you have plenty of time to make up ground. You get this team again. You know what you've done. I think if the Miami Dolphins lose this game against the Buffalo Bills and how banged up they are and how well they've been playing, it's almost like throwing your hands up in the air and saying, what else can we do? We're just not going to be able to beat this team. And I think that's a pretty big psychological effect. And the reverse is true, where if Miami wins this game, you know, they're going to be strutting around and thinking, you know, this is our division and, you know, let's maintain this. The next few games for them, by the way, they have a schedule that's pretty conducive for them to get more wins. And if the Bills win this game, I think it's almost like, yeah, that's what we do. We go and we beat the Dolphins. It doesn't matter who we have because, you know, we show up and we win games.
Right. Josh Allen's on our team, and he owns them.
That's right.
We've spent a lot of time already this hour talking about the injuries and their impact on the game plan. That will suffice as this week's edition of Constructing the Game Plan, which is brought to you by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. Sal, what about running the ball, either of these teams? Is it just like an afterthought for both of these teams? I mean, we saw Tua last week, 467 yards, 6 touchdowns. We know what Allen's capable of. Do you think either of these teams will care much at all about what they are doing on the ground?
I do think they'll care. I don't know if either will be like super successful, but the Bills, first of all, Josh Allen has run well against the Dolphins in the past. I think Josh's legs could come into play again. The Bills actually, if you remember last year, the second play from scrimmage, the Bills busted off a huge run for a touchdown by Devin Singletary when they played down in Miami. You know, they'd love for something like that to happen again. I think I'm more interested from the Miami side running the ball. Why can't they run the football? I mean, they ran it better last week. They've had a nice chunk runs here, but they had this backfield that they collected that's all super fast, and they got this, you know, this Shanahan system, but really hasn't gone as well as planned, right? I mean, in the preseason, they could not run the ball at all. And people are like, well, it's only the preseason. Well, it kind of really went into the regular season. In the first game, they didn't run the ball very well against New England. And then last week, they started going a little bit, but they just haven't been very good at running the ball, to be quite honest with you. And I wonder, that's for me, like a little bit more. They are averaging 75 yards a game on the ground, less than 4 yards a carry.
I think a couple things here. Last week's game, not much was happening, but then they got so far behind, it really almost didn't matter. Like, they were not, you see it in the passing stats. Like, the running game was obsolete midway through. I want to finish this point and then say a thing about the Bills. Edmonds in week one. Edmonds is more, has been more the third down back, the Nyheim Hines, McKissick type of running back for Arizona. They signed him in free agency. I think you might have seen already last week, Sal, Miami get off of him as like a first down running back, and they used Raheem Mostert. I think Mostert is probably fine until he gets hurt, and he's been hurt a lot, and he's into, I think, age 30 or 31 even now, but he doesn't carry an injury designation for this game. So and you see them both on the field too, and they have a fullback. And I bet there's some of that, or maybe a lot of that in this game, with pass protection being so necessary for Miami to have any chance here against what the Bills can do. So I'm expecting Mostert and then Edmonds in more of a part-time role, more like they looked against Baltimore. The Bills running the ball, even in that game when, like, that was all they were here for, you know, the second half with the big lead, it's still not really happening. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm worked up about that, because you know me when it comes to the running game. Like, I don't even care. I got Allen, I'm all set. But, you know, you might have wanted to see James Cook do a little more, maybe score on that one where he broke it. And Singletary and Moss just kind of there so far.
Yeah, I think you'd like to see maybe a little bit more efficiency from the Bills. But, you know, I mean, you go back to that L.A. game. I mean, Devin Singletary averaged 6 yards a carry. They ran pretty well. You know, Josh has to be a part of the running game for sure. You know, but the Bills are going to go as far as Josh Allen throwing the ball, right? If you're going to shut them down, they'd love to tell you we can run the ball. If we have to run the ball, we can. But really, that's how they're going to make their business, right, is Josh Allen throwing the football. So, and I think the Bills will try to run the football here. You know, one of the things the Bills might want to do, guys, is, and believe it or not, the kind of the strategy teams have against the Bills. Well, you know what? We're banged up on defense. Let's not expose them anymore. Let's not put our defense out on the field a lot. Let's control the game a little bit more on the ground. Let's run the ball a little bit more so we don't have to ask Christian Benford and Kyer Elam and Daquan Johnson to have to cover those receivers even more so than they have to, and put them on the field in the hot sun against Miami and run around and chasing those guys around all afternoon. Like, that could very well be part of the game plan here. I think the Bills are fine and capable of running the ball. I think they're actually a good run team when they want to be, and they can be. I don't think it went necessarily as well as you wanted it to last week against the Tennessee Titans. But I think if they wanted to run the ball here against the Miami Dolphins and really concentrated on it, I think that they'd be just fine going with that game plan and then saying, all right, now it's time to, you know, let Allen do his thing.
88 degrees Sunday, chance of a thunderstorm. You've been down there many times. I mean, a typical Miami weather, so there'd be that. That'll get mentioned on the broadcast, too, with respect to how these teams, you know, what their game plan is, hot and sunny. It gets hotter than that, but still, like, typical Miami road game weather.
Yeah, and we had Patrick Hammer on the Extra Point shows we do every Friday. He said that there's definitely going to be showers around in the area, and he said that you know, there's a front coming through. It's not just your typical South Florida day. Like, be ready for it. There could very well be showers. And guys, anytime you hear that in South Florida, just have to remind people that 2 years ago there was a big lightning delay too. So let's hope that's not the case. And that was during the COVID year, and basically we were doing the game from back home here. We had to delay. We had to throw it back to the station and all that kind of stuff. So let's hope that's not the case. I know that every year I go down there and I think, oh, it's beautiful. And then sometime during the game, I'm like, oh, my God, here comes the rain.
Right.
And then I got to figure out, like, do I have to put a windbreaker on, a hoodie? I did last year put this windbreaker on. It's, like, nice and light, but but it then like stuck to my body after the rain came, and it was so humid, and it was miserable.
I'll save my story. I have a story from being on the sideline when I worked for Syracuse of a little bit like the tropical storm. It wasn't thunderstorms, just a soaking all day, all weekend, just constant rain. So yeah, that's no fun. How do you think it went for the Bills at receiver? Now, again, such a blowout. What is really there to analyze in terms of Kumerow taking Gabe Davis's role? We sort of guessed at that a few different times leading up to the game. What did we get? We got basically Kumerow taking those snaps and everything else kind of being the same. Do you have any thought on, I know what the score was and, you know, Diggs just smashed, but how the Bills thought that went?
Yeah, I think the Bills, it's funny to me that, like, they obviously were way more confident in a guy like Jake Kumerow being their next outside receiver than a lot of us were, right? We were talking about that for how long? Like, if anything happens, who's the next outside receiver? Oh, it's Jake Kumerow. Yeah, good special teams player. Caught a nice pass against the Denver Broncos. Yeah, the Bills just basically trotted him out there, and he was the second leading receiver for the game. He had 50 yards, runs right by a guy, catches that dime from Allen. Like, they feel really good about that. Josh Allen says he's faster than you think. He's great hands, obviously. So I think they feel good about that situation and how it went. I was super surprised they didn't get Isaiah McKenzie and Jamison Crowder and even Khalil Shakir more involved. Like, to me, that's been kind of an interesting deal that Khalil Shakir really hasn't been involved at all in the offense, and yet here's this offense that's still scoring the way it has. I think they have a really good player there that they could also use and add part of their weaponry. Not to mention James Cook, by the way, who hasn't been involved. Like,
right.
It's amazing to me. Like, to me, these guys are still very talented, and they could help this team. And they kind of haven't used them at all and haven't really needed to use them, even without Gabe Davis, which goes to show you they have a very good roster. It also goes to show you that right. Maybe it doesn't matter as long as you have Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs.
Long season, right? I mean, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sort of saying that to myself as well as anyone else because, you know how I was surprised Shakir didn't even dress in week one. And, you know, I'm excited about Cook and what he is supposed to represent. I also would have loved to see him run away from that defender late in that game as they were just sort of running out the clock there. We've touched on a few things around the league here. Herbert, the Chiefs and Colts matchup in last night's game. Let's take a dash around the league here, which is brought to you by Dash's Markets. Shop the family of finer foods, Dash's Markets. What else this weekend are you really looking forward to seeing, Sal?
I think there's some really interesting AFC games this weekend, to be quite honest with you. I think the Ravens-Patriots game is interesting for maybe where these two teams are after their 1-1 performances and how they've both gone. And, of course, one won one week and lost the other, and the other was reversed. But I think that's really interesting. I think the Raiders and Titans could be an elimination game. Except that the South is so bad that it probably isn't even if the Titans go 0-3. But if the Raiders go 0-3, I mean, they're up against it, right, in that division. But if the Titans go 0-3, I still think they could dig their way out of it. It's going to be tough, but they could. And then what is happening with the Bengals? Like, after last week's win by the Jets and coming back against the Browns, like, I don't think the Jets are going to win, but holy cow, like, the Bengals just looked awful their first 2 weeks, especially trying to protect Joe Burrow.
Recommend that Ben Solak piece at The Ringer today. Really good. And you can learn stuff in articles like that, too, about how what defenses are seeing. Not things we talk about all the time, but part of what make the game so interesting. Okay, Sal, you got your lineups in and everything? I mean, lots of injury news, too, to factor in. Got to be on top of it.
I'll do a lot of that on the plane tomorrow, to be quite honest with you. That's like my time to kind of reset all that stuff. I'll have 3.5 hours or so to myself to kind of look into all that, so I'll do that.
That should be enough time for you.
Yeah, but on Judge Watch tonight too, so we'll be doing that.
Do you have Apple TV? A little bit later. You're gonna need it.
I do.
Okay.
But is it plus or is it regular? I don't know. I think I have like
I don't know
if I have plus.
I don't.
It's
I feel
hard,
like
hard
Apple
to find
TV.
These games these days.
Apple
I actually
TV
have a
is
fundraiser.
Plus.
I actually have to go to a fundraiser tonight, so I'd like to be able to watch the Syracuse game and Aaron Judge. I can't do either of those things, but that's okay. But it'll be interesting. We've been dialed into Judge here at the house, and you know, every time he gets up, making sure that we don't miss an at-bat. So hopefully he gets one out here soon.
All right. Good luck, Sal. Have a nice weekend. Have a nice trip.
All right. Thanks, guys. You too.
Sal Capaccio right there. Going to Miami. Should be fun.
I hope so.
Don't we have people to thank when Sal comes on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're waiting. I roundtable throws me off. Yeah, sales appearances with us are always brought to you, even in the roundtable, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case once you're outlet. I'm like, what are you waiting for? Like, oh, you're waiting for me. Sorry.
There was a better way for me to do that.
No, that was fine.
Just read it myself.
Hey, look, we have our roles. I always read the sale thing. Not even read it. I mean, I have that. That's one I have committed to memory. I don't need a script for that one.
Adam Krautwurst, the Deep End Fantasy Podcast, where he and I co-host that for Draft Sharks. He will be on next, and we'll talk about some of these fantasy storylines for Week 3. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.